Hey, what is up, y'all? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin. I have decided that this is going to be the final episode of Season 2, man. This is the final episode of Season 2. I know for some of you guys, some of you structured people out there, you're probably thinking, Keelan, that's so unorganized. And you're right. So if you want to organize how the season should go, then you should sign up to help a brother out, right? But I decided that this is going to be the last episode because there are some changes that I'm making, for season three. I want to do this with such excellence. There are some things that we're adding, one of which is going to be video content. So not only will you be able to hear this in audio form, but you'll be able to watch it. So that's going to be a phenomenal thing, something that is new that I'm bringing to the podcast. Going to get my stage all set up for you guys so that we can actually have some face-to-face conversation on the podcast. And I do believe that the platform I use, I do think that they allow like a live feed, so you guys can actually join in live as I'm doing the podcast. So I'm going to figure out how to make that work. I'm not the most tech savvy person in the world, but I would like for you guys to join me, man, and we can have some interactive conversation. We can break down the scriptures and things that we use. We can open up on a topic because everything we do on the podcast is not always scripture based. But since it is, because it is what I model my life after, and it is because it's my book of conviction. It is my book of healing. It is my book of restoration. It's my book of freedom. So that's why I talk about the Bible so much. It wasn't necessarily meant to be a faith-based podcast as the form of me teaching messages the way that I do. But that has, that has been God's design for it. So however, it's doing its work, though. So I'm grateful for that. Thank God for that. So going into this last episode, man, just know there's going to be several weeks off, but just know that when it comes back, there'll be some heavy marketing as to how you can tune in, how you can be a part, how you guys can, if you have a small business, there'll be ways for you to actually plug in and application forms for you guys to fill out if you want your business advertised. Again, the video content, special guests that we'll be having for next season. So, man, it is, there's a lot of great things going on in the books right now with season three coming up. So it's definitely a privilege to be able to spread God's word the way that I do, being able to minister the gospel. And today is no different, man. So for all of you who've been joining in for the past two seasons, man, I want to say we're almost 75 episodes in, man. Thank y'all so much. And there will be many more. There will be about 30 more episodes if I was if I had had some consistency in other weeks. But, life gets in the way. And, when you're only one steering the ship, it happens sometimes. So it's all right, though, man. God is still going to make a way for this thing. This is still going to be one of the top household podcasts. I truly believe that after a while. But in due time, man. So again, thank you guys for following, listening, sharing, liking, commenting, subscribing, donating, giving to the cause, man. It has been phenomenal. Other news, though, man. Unchained Ministries will be an official 501c3 in the near future. I've been waiting on this paperwork for forever to come through, but I got wind that it's in the process and the final stages. So thank God for that. It's going to run parallel with Unchained LLC, both of which, man, are faith-based companies. It's just one is going to have a tax exempt status and it's not for profit. It's an actual nonprofit. So that'll be our community outreach, the way we minister and help the people, how we serve God's people. So, man, praise God for that, man. I'm truly excited about it. As normal, if you guys want to give to the cause, again, you guys can give at $, which is a cash app. And of course, you always start any cash app giving with $, and that's No Chains on Me with a Z. You can also do it through Venmo. You can also do it through Venmo. We did set up Venmo last time, and that is through through Unchained Transformation. That is on Venmo. If you guys need the information for that, please DM me. I can send you the QR code or the at logo, because I can't remember which at logo I set up. However, again, that's how you know you got too much stuff going on. but I can send you the information for that. Also, if you guys are wanting to, you know, do anything else or partner up in some way ministry wise, you guys can email me at Keelan@nochainsonme.com. That's Keelan@nochainsonme.com, and that's chains with the Z. Also, for those of you who have inquired about coaching, mentoring, you know, who have also talked about, you know, me showing up to speak at, your groups or organizations, you guys can also go to my website and fill out a request form. And on that request form, it just asks about, you know, your budget, your organization, what's the topic, where you're located, all that nice stuff. And you guys can go to, www.nochainsonme.com. Now it's weird for some links. I don't know why it does this, but for some links, it'll take the regular www dot, but for some, you have to do the whole https://// before you put the W's there. I don't know why. That's going to be hard to repeat. But anyway, so if you don't get there just by doing the www.nochainsonme.com, try adding the https://. With the 2/ before you do that. But there's going to be a slash at the end of that. Okay. And the slash Keelan-Martin. Okay. So it's the website and then slash Keelan-Martin. And then it'll take you to the request form. I know that is a lot. You know, but if I can remember, I'll post it on the video. So, I tell you what though, man, season 3, there will be somebody doing all that stuff for me, somebody more organized and has a, you know, who has a knack for attention to detail. You know, 'cause me, I'm not a very detail oriented person, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I promise I'm working on it. But thank you guys, man, for, you know, oh yeah. Also, if you also want to give, go to anchor.fm/unchain. Okay. anchor.fm/unchain. That's the other avenue. There's always somebody at least once a week that I always ask, and I always, you know, forget to either say it on here or send in the information. But, without further ado, man, the season finale episode, I do want to just say again, thank you guys for tuning in. There's so much going on right now that'll happen between the end of this season and next season. You know, we talked about, you know, the book and it coming out soon. And a lot of people have been asking, hey, where's the book? Man, it is. I'm putting the final touches on it. But understand, though, this is not just a book. Also, what comes with it is a Bible study, you know. And when I say Bible study, it's more like growth work. Something to help you grow, help you heal, help you mend that brokenness, just to kind of shed some insight on your behavioral patterns, thought life, so you can be more consciously aware of bad habits, bad patterns, and you can put a stop to those, right? So that's why I did that. So there'll be that at the end of every chapter. Super excited for that. Also, when we talk about, you know, the book, there's also going to be an audio book that goes with it. So not only are you going to be able to read it, you can drive and hear my voice while you drive, right? It's so cool. I'm just being silly. However, man, again, thank you guys for your patience, your support, means the world to me. However, let's go ahead and get cracking with, you know, with this final episode. Anyway, this episode just kind of came to me on a whim. I was kind of laboring in prayer as to, you know, what I want to end the season on. And, you know, I almost went with a piece that I was going to be sharing within the Untamed Transformation group starting tomorrow. Now we're doing a series Monday through Thursday. And it's a series called Facing Your Fears. We've done the Unchained Mindset, we've done Narrow-Minded, and now we're doing one called Facing Your Fears. All of them are the foundations of what I teach and how I teach. and all of them are great tools to access, you know, freedom. Being able to be free mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So be on the lookout for that. Again, that starts tomorrow through Thursday at 8 a.m. I hope to see you there. That's in the Unchained Transformation Group on Facebook. So just stay tuned for that, guys, because I'm really excited, really looking forward to it. But I was going to share a piece of that, a piece of what I was going to be teaching, but it's not the right time. Not the right time. I'll wait till tomorrow. So if you want that information, then you have to join the group, right? So today, God has really, you know, he really spoke to me about, you know, where we're headed. And when I say where we're headed, God has destined you to be preeminent. And that's one of the topics that I'm going to be teaching on next week. But he's destined you to be preeminent, destined you for preeminence, destined you to be great, destined you to walk in this newness of life, this state of I would say excellence, not perfection, but excellence. He's created you to have this thing about you that is so intangible. It only comes from him. And so I want to break that down a little bit, because although he's created us to do that and to walk in that kind of excellence, there's an Achilles heel. There's an Achilles heel to that, meaning it's hard to walk, you know, when there's negative thoughts present. It's hard to walk when you have certain proclivities. It's hard to walk, you know, when you're under attack. It's hard to walk when you have the veil pulled over your eyes. It's hard to walk when you have some unbelief in your heart. It's hard to walk when you have certain things that plague you. And we call that the Achilles heel, because if your Achilles has ever been injured or torn, there's no running. there's barely walking. So unbelief and negativity and the attack of the enemy, they all run hand in hand. They're almost kind of like all in the same pot. And so I want to break that down, because this is something emotional for me. And I know y'all guys are tired of hearing me being emotional, but what God has been doing in my mind and in my life and in my heart, I have good reason to be emotional, man. I got good reason to give all honor, glory, and praise to him. I got good reason to fall on my face. I got good reason to lie prostrate. I got good reason for a lot of things, especially when it comes to exalting the Lord, because, you know, like I said, man, I shouldn't be here. I just really shouldn't. I shouldn't have the life that I have. But God has been great and God has been merciful. So for those of you who are listening, man, I just want to say, you know, may God strengthen you and encourage you, like with this word. May he free you. Those of you who are listening, may you become free with the word that God has given me for you this morning. May you become free with the Holy Spirit that's going to touch you. If you're really listening to this to grow and not be entertained, if you're really listening to this because you want life change, if you have turned on the Unchained podcast so that your mind could be free, I promise you, you're going to get something out of today. You're going to get something out of the next few moments. So if you could just lend me your ear for just a minute, I promise you this one's not going to be long as well. But we're going to start, and actually, we're not going to start. We're just doing today's message out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 31 through 38. All right, chapter 22, verses 31 through 38. And it reads, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you, even to die with you." But Jesus said, "Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me." Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you out to preach the good news and you did not have any money, a traveler's bag, or an extra pair of sandals, did you need anything?" "No," they replied. "But now," he said, "take your money and a traveler's bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. For the time has come for this prophecy about me to be fulfilled. He was counted among the rebels. Yes, everything written about me by the prophets will come true. Look, Lord, they replied, we have two sorts among us. That's enough, he said. So I don't even want to focus on that entire text. I just thought it was fitting to read the entire text. But first and foremost, let's address that first verse where Peter is calling out to, Jesus is calling out to Simon. He calls him Simon, Simon. But he says this, he says, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. That was special to me because we just read a couple of weeks ago when I did the podcast Dark Nights that we saw the accuser walking in the heavenly court with the angels. And Satan had asked God to harm Job, right? This is being the same scenario. This is being the same scenario. But I also noticed that Jesus did not call him Peter. He called him Simon. Peter, which is Petros, which meant the rock, which meant solid, which meant strong. He didn't call him by the name. He called him Simon. So it dawned on me when I read this that those of you, there's a part in the flesh. There's a part of you that Satan desires to attack. He desires to sift you like wheat. He desires to take that weakness of yours and spread it out. He desires to have those thoughts, those feelings, those emotions. He desires to play on those. He desires to use them against you. He desires to take the thoughts of insecurity, the thoughts of I'm not enough, the thoughts that I'm lacking something, the thoughts that I'm broken, the thoughts that I'll never get it done, the thoughts that I'll never be successful, the thoughts that I'm broke, the thoughts that I'm poor. He desires to take those thoughts and use them against you so that he can sift you as wheat. What they would do back in the old days at the threshing floor is when they would harvest wheat, they would beat it so that you would be left with nothing but the grain of wheat, and all the parts that were undesirable or could not be used would be blown away with the wind. And so this is what Satan is desiring to do. He's desiring to take that weakness of yours. He desires to take that and separate you from what is truly good, the part of you that is good, that is usable, and make it seem as if it is nothing. He wants to remove you from that mentally, emotionally, and physically, if he can. We hear it all the time that Satan roars around like a lion, looking at whom he may devour. Right? We also hear that he comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. He comes to steal your peace, which is why he desists to sift you. Because if you're scattered among everywhere, if you're scattered among all your problems, if you're scattered among your thoughts, your habits, your feelings, your emotions, if he can scatter you among your thought, then you cannot be whole. If you are scattered among what you think about, then you're going to go throughout life with a fractured mind, a fractured thought process, so that you cannot be healed and you cannot be whole. As long as your mind is spread apart and it is over everything and into everything, so that you can't focus on healing and wholeness, you're going to be sifted as wheat. So if he can have your mind, he can have your peace. So he comes to steal your peace. He desires to take you and sift you as wheat. He also comes to kill. Because if he can steal your peace, he can kill your drive. He can kill your energy. He can kill your hopes. He can kill your dreams. He can kill anything if you allow him to have your mind. If you allow him to steal your peace with what happened to you, with what was done to you, with where you failed, with where you feel inadequate. If he can take your peace, he can kill your dream. If he can take your mind, he can kill your spirit. And when I say spirit, I mean your soul. I mean your personality. I mean with what you were created to do, the drive you have, the personality you have, whom you were created to be. You guys just heard me say that God has created you to live in a state of preeminence, which means excellence, for you to exemplify who you were created to be upon the earth. But if Satan can get your mind, and if he can separate you from your likeness, if he can separate you from your likeness of God, and not that God's presence can be diminished by Satan, but if you allow him to have your mind, you can view your likeness. You can view your you could sell your birthright for a bowl of beans like Esau did. You will begin to see yourself as nothing. See yourself as what's the use? See yourself as I'm not good enough. See yourself as little. And you will opt to stay in obscurity over preeminence. Obscurity is okay for a while, because sometimes obscurity is the road to preeminence. Obscurity is where you can grow. But if you're living in obscurity because of what you've allowed Satan to take from you, then you will never move forward. So if he can do that and kill your dreams and hopes and your desires, then all the harvest that you were created to harvest, he'll destroy it. Because I need you guys to understand that when Satan is after you, he's not really after you, and he's not after your stuff, and he's not after your car, and he's not after your house. He's after your peace. He's after your mind. Because if he can get your mind, he can destroy your harvest. That is the trick. Steal, kill, destroy. If he can have your mind, he can destroy your harvest. And he will do it through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In one way, shape, or form, he's coming. And he is relentless. He won't stop. So Jesus says, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. He has desired to spread you into pieces. He has desired to rip you apart from your calling. He has desired to harm you. But praise God, Jesus says, but I have pleaded in prayer for you. Now put your name in that. I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon. I have pleaded in prayer for you, Keelan. He says, I have pleaded in prayer. This is not just me asking. I have begged God. I have begged the Father for you, Keelan. I have begged the Father for you that your faith should not fail. Your faith. Not that you won't fail. He says that your faith shall not fail. Because you're going to fall in life. You're going to fall short in some areas. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to make some bad decisions. You're going to say some things that you regret. You're going to do something that you regret. He says, look, when that happens, I pray that your faith fail you not. That you don't get so hung up on the emotional trauma of what you did or what happened that it caused you to lose faith for your future. There's so much that I've gone through where I now see where Satan has desired to have me and to sift me as wheat. And so it is with some of you who are listening, where Satan has desired to sift you so you would lose faith. That's the goal. Jesus says, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So, now whenever Jesus says so, that means there's something else coming. There's something else coming. Because in our weakness, when we are Simon, when we're not operating under the revelation of God, when we're not operating under the revelation of the Holy Spirit, when we're not operating as Peter, when we're not operating with that newness that we got, when we first got revelation that Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that his blood was shed for the forgiveness of my sins. When we got that revelation, there was a spark, there was an energy that you never had before. There was a gratitude that you had. Because when you looked over your life, you saw all the things that you had done. You saw all the hearts that you had broken. You saw all the lies that you told. You saw the stealing. You saw the murder. You saw the drunkenness. You saw the promiscuity. You saw all of it. And that was the first time you realized that wow, I really am loved. That somebody would love me so much that they would sacrifice their own son for me, so that I could go to heaven and be with the one who created me. And there was something so beautiful about that testimony, about that story, that love story, because at the end of the day, we all desire to be loved. We all desire it. Because sometimes this walk, this journey, it gets tough. So sometimes we get called as Simon and we don't get called as Peter. Sometimes we get caught in the flesh and we don't get caught. We don't get caught when we're operating under the revelation of who God really is. And Jesus is preparing Peter for what's next. Look, he's saying the enemy's coming. He said, but I went to the Father about you. I've been pleading in my spirit about you. I've been pleading to God for you, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, he says, strengthen your brothers. Yo, and this is where it got me, y'all. Seriously. This is where it got me. He says, so when you have repented. So this means that Jesus already knew that you were going to turn your back on him. He already knew that you were going to deny him. He already knew that you were going to be so overcome with the circumstance and your feelings and your emotions that you were going to forget what he's done for you. He already knew that you were going to walk away. He knew that you were going to fall. And he knew that you were going to trip. So this is why I ask people, like, look, some people, look, I promise you, I am not a super, look, I'm not, and I guess I don't know how to word it, but I'm not a holy roller, I guess is what I should say. Because a lot of people, they say, yo, and here's why I say that, and it's because a lot of people will deify you because they know where you stand with God. Not understanding that you standing with God does not mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you don't have flaws. It doesn't mean that you don't go without temptation. It doesn't mean that you live in trees and eat leaves, and that you don't need money, and that you don't make mistakes, and that you don't get angry, and that you don't get upset, and that you don't fall short sometimes. Paul says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All, not some, all. Oh. And so this hit me like a ton of bricks, because you guys heard me tell a couple weeks ago about something that I had endured. I had endured the culmination of what I thought was my life. It hit me in a specific way, to where I fell off. I became indifferent. I got lost. Let me tell y'all something. I'm not afraid to admit that. I got lost. This was a point in time where I didn't necessarily turn my back on God, but I wanted to quit. I wanted to throw in the towel. I wanted to say, what's the use? I didn't want to preach anymore. I didn't want to speak anymore. I didn't want to do the podcast. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to do none of it. I was so upset. Because in my mind, it wasn't supposed to be like this. In my mind, this was not supposed to happen. But Jesus saying, hey, Keelan, look, Satan has desired. Look, he asked to sift you like wheat. He says, but I pleaded in prayer for you. He says that your faith will not fail, Keelan. Look, I know it wasn't supposed to be that way. I know it was not supposed to be that way. But I'm saying, I already know what's going on. I already know what's going to happen. But he's saying, look, I'm allowing you some grace and mercy to get this right. So when you have repented, when you have turned from that, when you have turned from the hurt, when you've turned from the anger, when you've turned from the unforgiveness, when you've turned from depression, when you've turned from that anxiety, when you've turned from this lifeless state of indifference that you're walking in, when you've turned from that and you've turned to me again, he says, go strengthen your brothers. Go strengthen your brothers. Because I'll be honest with you. When I wanted to quit, when I became indifferent, when I was walking around in this depressed state, let me tell y'all something. It was one of the loneliest walks in the world. I had felt so isolated. I was undergoing a lot emotionally, spiritually. And so much so that it was taking a toll on me physically. There were times where I would have a thought and my heart rate would literally spike. My watch would tell me that my heart rate is above normal. It would literally go off and I would be sitting still, not doing anything, no exercise. But just the remembrance of all the loss I had suffered in just a short amount of time began to do something to me, physically, where it would cause my heart rate to spike. And if I didn't cry out to God, it probably could have been the death of me. But Jesus says, look, I know where you are and I know that you're hurting. And he says, look, but when you've turned back, when you've decided that you don't want to be there anymore, let me tell y'all something. Depression and anxiety, as much as you guys say, it's a sickness. Yes, it is. It's strong. It's hard to get away from. It really is. But there's also a choice. You're never choiceless in the matter. You always have a choice. So I decided to give my life to God again. I decided that I was going to live for him no matter what. And there were some things of my past that had come back up in my mind, and I'd found myself doing some things that I swore I'd never do again. And for me, that was the hardest thing, is to see the height from where I'd fallen. And what I perceived was something done to me. It wasn't. It was something that was being done for me that I couldn't perceive at the time was a lesson. It was building me. It was strengthening me. It was stretching me. And Jesus says, in that moment, he says, I pray that your faith fail you not. So when you get ready to come back to me, you can go and strengthen your brothers. You can go and tell people about this time in your life where you struggle. You can go and minister to other people who've dealt with the same things that you've been dealing with. You can go and tell people how to get out. You can go and speak to people who've been living in depression, who've been living in anxiety. And oh God, won't he do it? My God, has he not put people in my circle whom I can minister to from the good and the bad of what I've gone through? The choices that I made in a depressed state, just as well as the victories that God has shown in my life. They're all tools. I can minister with both. My personal failures and God's victory. The victory belongs to Christ. And we are silly if we think that it's anything of our own account that frees us. And that's part of the reason why we stay in depression, because we try to fix it ourselves. So when we move down to verse 33, Peter says, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. But Jesus says, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. And I feel sorry for you if you deny that. I so feel sorry for you if you deny the fact that you've walked away from Christ. Let me tell you something. Following Christ is not about having church isms and saying the right things and using the right words and going to church every Sunday. That ain't got nothing to do with it. The fact that you pray and you praise and you worship, that ain't got nothing to do with you being a Christian. Being a Christian is all about relationship. It is all about being open to tell God what is on your heart so that you can be healed and whole and walk the rest of your life with purpose and meaning the way that he's called you to do it. It has nothing to do with you doing all the things in the outside world. It ain't about, it's not about you plugging into the 3D atmosphere. Does it help? Yes. Does prayer help? Yes. Does going to church help? Yes. Do small groups help? Yes. These are tools. But they are not the foundation of Christianity. That's not the that can't be the foundation of your relationship, because once those things shift or change, so do you. Something happens in your church and you leave your church, then that means you weren't in it for the right reason. If you're in a bad mood, you don't feel like having praise and worship, then it can't be rooted in that either. Your relationship with Christ, it cannot be rooted in what you feel like, but only through personal relationship. Because all of us who claim to be Christ followers, we have said, Jesus, we're ready to go and die with you, even go to prison with you. We will follow you to death. We say we're willing to be crucified for the cause of Christ. We say we're willing to be beheaded. We say we're willing to be murdered for Christ's sake. But Jesus says, you don't even know what you're saying, man. He says, tomorrow morning, before you hear that rooster crow three times, you're going to deny me. I mean, before you hear that rooster crow, look, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny that you even know me. Not just once. Not just twice, but three times. And when you continue to read, you'll notice that even on a third time, Peter cursed. He got so angry. He got so angry. He became so shameful in the moment that he got so angry that he cursed. In conjunction with denying Christ, he became somebody else in a moment of fear and doubt and the unknown. It changed him. So what do you do when everything that you've put your hope in, it changes right before your eyes? Everything that you believed in, everything that you put hope in, what happens when that shifts? Because for me, I didn't want to do it anymore. I went fishing like Peter did. I went back to what was comfortable. I went back to what I knew. And so I had to make peace with this thought that I had in my mind that Christ had been there waiting to forgive me, but I walked away. And yes, everything we do is forgiven under the blood covenant that he shed. But you can only experience forgiveness when you accept it. And I had this heaviness when I think about God being ready to forgive me. And it wasn't that he wasn't forgiving me. And it's the thing is, guys, the shame will keep you in what's comfortable. The shame and the fear of the unknown is what will keep you from moving forward. Peter didn't know what to do his whole life. Everything that had transpired in 3.5 years, it just blew up in front of his face. Although he was warned, although he was told, for some reason, it never registered that Christ was telling him the whole time. Jesus was telling him, I'm going to be murdered. I keep predicting my death. I keep telling you what's going to happen. I keep telling you, look, you're going to fall away. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to fail. On this road to preeminence, on this road to excellence, on this road to follow me, walking with me, fulfilling your call, taking on this responsibility on the earth, it comes with some weight, and you're going to have some bumps and some bruises and some scars. You're going to be backstabbed. You're going to be lied to. You're going to be divorced. You're going to be angry. You're going to say and do some things that you regret. But I'm just praying that your faith not fail you in the process. That you don't become a victim to your own self-perception. Look, y'all, he says, Keelan, you don't even know what you're saying. You say you'll follow me to prison and even unto death. You say you'll do those things. You say you're going to follow me no matter what. But you're going to deny me at some point. And it don't even have to be verbally, but with your actions, it's going to look like you don't even know me. Not once, not twice, but multiple times. Three times. And he goes on to talk about when he sent them out, he didn't send them anything because they were protected. And in those moments where you feel like I'm not near, in those moments where you feel like I'm not beside you, in those moments when you're going out to preach the gospel, when you're going out to speak and you're going to heal and you're going to minister, you need to take your sword. And you need to remember your value. You need to remember to have value. He tells them to take sword and take money. Take an extra pair of sandals. Because you're going to get tired. And things are going to come against you. And you can't be defenseless. And there are things that are going to take from you. So you need to have some people of value with you. You need to have my word. My strength will carry you. My word has deemed you valuable. And my word will be your sword. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. So guys, I just promise you. I want to promise you, I want to tell you this, that God has marked you for greatness. God has given each and every one of us a calling. He has entrusted us with a gift that we have agreed to do upon this earth. We were all created to do something, to make the name of the Lord famous upon the earth. The only thing that is hindering you is your self-perception. Let's first address the fact that there's a real enemy who desires to sift you like wheat. Know that that's out there. Know that he's real and he's walking around. And he's going to do everything he can to keep you from doing your best. He's going to do everything that he can. He's going to want you to go back and sit in your feelings. He's going to want you to sit in shame when you mess up. He's going to want you not to come back. He's going to want you to throw in the towel. But take comfort in the fact that Christ has prayed for us. He has pleaded with God the Father. He's pleaded with God the Father on our behalf. So that when we find the strength to repent and turn back to God, that we can go and strengthen our brothers and sisters. You do have a mission and you do matter. And there is a job for you to do. People who know me, they know my saying that yesterday is gone, tomorrow's not guaranteed, and all you have is today. So I'm encouraging all of you, don't grow weary in well doing. Keep fighting. Keep moving, keep pressing, no matter what you do. Do not go backwards. It doesn't mean you're not going to fail. It doesn't mean you're not going to have hard times, but do not go back to what's comfortable. Do not go fishing. Do not quit. Do not throw in the towel. Don't do that. Christ has pleaded for you that your faith may not fail. So, man, we're going to end season 3 on that note. And if there are some of you out there who are dealing with some attacks, some of you who are dealing with anxiety, depression, whatever it is, yo, again, message me, Keelan@nochainsonme.com, and let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Because I'm pleading with God that your faith fail you not to. You guys can do this. You really can. But if you guys are not following me on Facebook at No Chains On Me, I have affiliated my group with the page. So if you are following me on there, or if you're not, follow me on Facebook. And that way you can get updates on everything that's coming, the book release, all that stuff is going to be coming, man. But beyond that, man, I just want to be able to continue to be a light for you guys. I want to continue to inspire, motivate, push. And I desire that with what God gives me, that it strengthens you throughout the process, man. So I love y'all. I'll see y'all later. Peace.